services, and they can be one big service, and you can come to either or both. So we want to therefore make our time together more experiential than informational, because I do think there's importance to go to the scripture and to bring understanding to what the Spirit's saying in the scripture. And then there's just as much the joy of being in prayer meetings is if you got yourself a little journal and people start praying, you start hearing a narrative in the midst of the prayers. And I make it a habit myself that when I end a prayer meeting, because I'm going to want to reflect on the theme that grew, I'll write the scriptures down so that I have a reference point. One thing we ask anybody in any of our prayer meetings just do is simply to state the chapter, book, chapter, and verses you're going to read, then read them, then pray them. That way, three things happen. One, half of us will get drawn to that scripture once we hear it. Have you ever heard somebody read a scripture out loud and you go, that is so good, where is that? And yet it seems like you don't want to interrupt, so you just lose the reference point. So the reference gets there so we can find it for ourselves, because I guarantee as soon as we're in the midst together in a corporate movement, then Jesus is in the midst of us moving in the space between us. And therefore, in the space between us, sound begins to be heard. That's not just the sound we can hear within us. So it's an exponential revelatory opportunity when you're in a group of two or three or more, and especially when the hearts begin to resonate and the unity begins to grow and the faith rises. And then when we pray what we read, we don't try to interpret what we read. We make it more of a receiving. Lord, may you do this, what you said. And it just opens the door for reception. And there's so much. A lot was already sung. Holy Spirit, the building, the awakening of the people, revealing Jesus, dwelling safely in the house of the Lord. This was a season of not attempting to to acquire for what God has already spoken, but to receive what God is saying. To really, it's a season of receiving. It's a season to receive and to step over the threshold of yesterday and the memories that would hinder us, or the unresolved issues that would keep us, and just saying, well, whatever, let's go. And in that place, Jesus meeting us on the other side. There's sound of miracles. I had this experience yesterday. Tonight, I believe there's, in our short 35 minutes left, I'd like it to talk for a moment about experiencing Jesus and the purpose of experience. The abiding scriptures, or abiding, letting his words abide in us, and the power of meditation, and just get us so we're synced, and our personal vision for the new year. And just enough that we can then take it into our personal prayer time. And my prayer, Cammie and I's prayer, has been that we would this year so each one of us come alive in his word. Or maybe differently, may his word come alive in us, where it's just living and illuminating and experiential. So I'm walking into up my front lawn to my front door yesterday afternoon, and I heard the Lord and I saw the Lord. You see, a vision and a revelation, an experience in the Spirit, is something basically that the Holy Spirit superimposes into your current moment and thought and experience something of himself. It could be an image, it could be a feeling, it could be a thought, it could be a scripture, it could be a memory, it could be a directive, it could be words. And they're faint. They're not something that's so loud and monstrous. It's not like the Ten Commandments and the booming voice in the middle of the air. It's usually a still small whisper. You just kind of thought, consideration. Sometimes a picture, sometimes all of those. In fact, Scripture tells us that it's only if we were to go into an open vision, which is going to be accompanied inside a trance, which happened in the New Testament, which usually are going to be preceded by a position of prayer, or if God is invading your life while you're in a massive road of rebellion. Otherwise, then they overtake the entire sensory of the person, and you're not sure where you are, how it's happening. You're just in it. But for most of us, and all of us, and for most of the time, we cultivate a receptivity, awareness, a value, a movement toward God breaking into our world, our moment. And this happened yesterday, and it was interesting. And at first, I kind of put it off because it didn't. It was an opposite feeling that I was feeling, and didn't. I wasn't sure if it was appropriate for the things I was pressing through. But I took it. I knew it to be the Lord, and the more he kind of kept surprising me with himself in that same setting, I said, well, I think this is God. I'm going to then explore. So the picture was simply this. It was Jesus in a very 30-something, 20-something, enlivened, resurrected adolescence. Or not adolescence, but just he was up, just really alive. He was just really thrilled, and in the background, the song that we used to sing, things like "There's victory in Jesus," Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there is victory. Songs like that spoke of his name and his victory, and I'm not even sure which particular song, but I knew what. And he was sitting there, or standing and jumping up and going, "No, there's victory in me. There's victory in me. There's victory in me." And I'm kind of going, wow, I'm just going in the house to, go have dinner. No, there's victory. And went into the home. Everything's going on. Life is happening. So kind of went down. Woke up this morning. There he was again. There's victory in me. There's victory in me. Like somebody that's so freely, so free and so restored and so complete that he could just be, not audacious, but just confident and pointing to himself, which is who Jesus always is. I mean, everything points to Jesus. And that's, so I started going with that into prayer then. I thought, okay, Lord, I don't want to just disregard that. And then what happens is often the Holy Spirit will link a current experience with himself in truth and the scripture to a past experience with himself in truth and the scripture. Like bring to your remembrance some other time. And I had another experience that was very much, it was in a sanctuary on the floor at the end of a conference, at the end of service, when everyone had been dismissed and worship kept going, and I had an open, really much like an open vision there, of dancing around the throne with myriads of believers, and it was like the Revelation 15, the crystal sea mixed with fire, and the overcoming, the overcomers of the Lamb, the Song of Moses. And it was an old charismatic song, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." So we're just celebrating this. And the Lord came and said, "I want you to hold your place. Never stop singing. Hold your place. Keep what I want you to hold this place." It was just the charge. And I thought, okay, cool. I'll do that. And did for a long time, until time and circumstances seemed kind of erode that place. So I'm going, I know Jesus, that really ultimately and always you are the victory. And probably the greatest faith for me to display right now is just quiet confidence in you, and allow this emotion of a joyful celebration in yourself to become something that I step into and experience. But then I thought to myself, Lord, that's so much like what you showed me 4 years ago in that open vision. Is it that I missed, I couldn't hold that one long enough, and now you're returning to me in, to restart something that petered out, got lost, or I lost, or didn't complete? And it was then, it's like the Lord now comes alongside, and he says, oh, you know, that road to Emmaus, oh, you slow of heart, oh, foolish one, slow of heart to believe. And he opened my understanding to something that I've had glimmers of, but I just saw it so clearly that I think it's valuable for all of us, because most of us, in looking into the future, have to know how to reconcile the past into the future. And so what he showed me was simply this, that when we have an experience with God in the Spirit, in His Word, in truth, you know, a vision, a dream, a prophecy, an encounter, we naturally and ought and rightfully can interpret it into the future we're walking into, or into the present we're in. And we make applications, and we begin to enjoy it in the present we're in. And we have expectations of its effect in the present we're in. And yet, the truth is, and Scripture teaches us, that this experience isn't so much to come into our life for change as it is to bring us into His life into change. And so an experience with God is a door into eternity, not His taking a door into our temporary. Now, there are moments, and there will be moments, where all of a sudden everything that has been seen breaks into our scene. Well, everything we've seen in the unseen breaks into the scene we see. But in the transformation process, because all promise is to make me partake of His nature. Every promise, from getting married to having children to fulfilling life's calling to being healed to living in prosperity to walking in wholeness, any promise God makes in Scripture we receive, its first and foremost stated purpose is to transfer His nature into us. So the nature that is transferred is not the result of the promise being fulfilled, it's the character, it's the faith of God. And it's the place in God. So in this story, in this connecting the dots moment, I was going, yeah, well, okay, so then what you're saying to me, Jesus, and I think it's important right now, because we're in such a rapid change moment, and there's so many things Jesus is wanting to do, that there's no possible way we could facilitate Him, even if we had mental understanding and capabilities. It's just stuff that He wants to do in like nano moments that our minds would be probably a hindrance to. So the experience with Jesus is to go into experiencing Jesus, to go into have an encounter with the Lord. In other words, He was coming to me and saying, there's victory in me. There's victory in me. Celebrate me. Celebrate me in this emotion that you're experiencing me, revealing me to you. Triumph, of joy, of gladness, of blithesomeness. And I, seeing all these things, I thought, well, okay. That's really all I need to do. Just go in and go be influenced and go experience and go enjoy. And the outcome, the change of things out here, will be at His bidding and His doing. So it took off the let's shift this to the circumstances I'm in. This is an answer for my problem. Now how do I direct the laser beam and change the thing? To no, this is a laser tractor beam pulling me up into the heavenly realm to have fellowship, union with God in the Spirit, in truth, in worship, so that he could be celebrated. It's just profound. And then the Lord began to say, you never have an experience with me that can translate to a circumstantial change that is worthy of the experience you had. And therefore, and nor can you carry the experience you had into the circumstances and bring a change, because it's not you, it's me. Nor can any experience with God ever be lost, because it's eternal. And if we're free, we can go, let's go into the multiple experiences of God's revelation of goodness, for instance, or prosperity, or healing, or deliverance, or transformation, or wherever the Lord has revealed himself before, he's going to do it in multiple stages, multiple colors, multiple layers. Go into the fullness of it. And if we can disengage from the disappointments and the hope deferred and the natural things, which he keeps revealing to me, is that, Steve, if you're going to deal with your hope deferred, it's all natural stuff. I've not disappointed you. I've disappointed you if you lock me into some outcome of something, but I myself am not a disappointment, and you know that. You dragged me into something with an objective that I probably even revealed to you is my objective, but you took over the thing. You know, he leads the dance, we don't lead. So it was like, thinking, Lord, this is profound for me. This is really helpful, because I know that this is a season to be writing down our visions and decreeing the future and engaging in the impossible. And I know you've been really addressing since September that old memories, past experiences and traumas will push away new mercies. We won't be able to step into the new because we remember the old too well. And God wants to address the new. And I know that many times my physical, actual, temporal deliverance will come in such a fashion that it comes a different direction, that if I'm fixated like Job on one thing and one thing alone, I'll take a whirlwind to get my attention. Instead of just that playfulness of God to just kind of go off over here, and next thing you know, over here, and all this stuff that I was waiting over there starts happening. Could you believe God could do that? Just kind of get you distracted? Don't we do that with our children when they're not necessarily being bad? They're just tired and hungry? Distract you a little bit over here and bring, you know, so we don't have to go into a power struggle? Well, experiences in the Spirit are like that. The Word of God is like that. When the Word of God is spoken, it carries its first deposit of truth and liberty. And the reason I believe that God wants to really take this season to reestablish for each of us our personal alone time, prayer time, time with God daily, is so that he can illuminate the scriptures again in us, or make them come alive. Whether or not it's, you know, reading the Bible doesn't do anything for you as a, you know, quota of, you know, I read my scriptures today. It's only when you, in reading the scripture, have an experience with God in the scripture. But the discipline of reading your scripture is the guarantee that Jesus gave to encounter truth enough that freedom comes. So scripture is so valuable as a continual backdrop. Like if you're going to play a soundtrack, play the scriptures. Because the scriptures are telling you where the movie's going. So scriptures, and I'm going to give you some personal, a way to link this to your own personal journey in just a moment. So a scripture that I meditate, like I just shared with you, the one I was meditating this week, Haggai 2:15. Going, okay, well, Lord, if I don't know what ephahs and baths look like, but I do know what 20 to 10 looks like. I know what 20 to 10 feels like. I know what 50 to 20 feels like. It feels like not enough. Disappointment. It feels like, how come? What happened? Why me? Don't you care? I mean, I know that God is, my intellect is as strong or good or wonderful as it may or may not be. My emotions rule me. They're the residual of the control mechanisms that are limiting me or propelling me or driving me. So I want to have an impact. I want to encounter that scripture and the promise of blessing. So you declaring now the blessings come, it has to be the opposite of that, because you wouldn't have said 20 to 10 and 50 to 20 and then say, but now from this day I bless you, when yet there is nothing to see, I say and decree I bless you. If you weren't giving the direction that we're going the opposite way, we're going from, and that's from 20 to 10, we're going from 20 to 30, and from 50 to 20 to 50 to 80, I started allowing that scripture to meditate, to build in me. Do you follow me? So you're taking the place that's being, that you're feeling the highlight. And I know when you first start, it is sometimes just like, Cammy was given the best advice by a dear friend of ours, Bob Litzine. He was part of the first group of ministries that we went out with. And she was just rededicated her life, 16, 17 years old, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says to her, he says, you should read your Bible every day until you hear God talk to you. It might be a verse, might be a chapter, could be a whole book, but you just read. It's the discipline of reading is what you have to commit yourself to be a disciple. Jesus, you know, he said, those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, continue in my word, then you're my disciples. So a believer into a disciple is a different, the difference is that believer has applied discipline to his belief and to the directive of his, the one whom he believes in. Jesus said, now continue my word. So she would just start doing that. And without realizing it, it's still to this day, we do this now. It's the way I read scripture. You just start reading until something kind of, you know, came alive. You could go like this and start reading. Or you could be, you know, reading methodically through the New Testament. It's looking, listening to feel the wind, to the light. Jesus walked, or God, Lord Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, would come into the garden, the voice of God in the wind of the Spirit, the pneuma of God, to fellowship with his man Adam. And that, those quiet times, those moments, a scripture that comes alive is now something to explore. An experience that I start to encounter is something to give place to, not dismiss. Explore. The two of them are spirit and truth. Or the words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and life. And the coupling of them start to recreate newness, or the new formatting. We often, you know, have computers get so overridden with programs upon programs, and they get gaps in their spaces, and they need to be reformatted. They need to be everything taken off and put back on. That's what happens in quiet time, especially when we can just have enough pondering to go, wow, that's interesting. You look silly, Jesus, dancing up and down, saying, yeah, it's victory in me. But apparently, the victory that you want me to engage in is inside of your playfulness. So I don't want to dismiss that. I want to step in and see. Does the scripture support it? Of course it does. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, he came in, you know, rejoicing at the sound of the overcoming victory of the disciples casting out devils. He spun around and rejoiced that the Father was revealing this to babies. David came dancing into Jerusalem looking like a madman, obscene, getting so carried away, just going outside of his kingly role into a priestly role. So yeah, of course. Is that for, could that be for me? Of course. But that's that little steps. That's why every experience in the Spirit, in the Scripture, could never fully be realized the first time you have it. But neither is it because could not be fully realized, therefore discounted, because later it returns to you in another form. It's meant to come in waves, and compounded light and truth, and valued. And over time, what you build, or what is built inside of you, is multiple components of the revelation of Jesus Christ in Scripture, in the Spirit, in substantial moments of interruptions of life encounters. And so that's why when Randy Nelson said, go and write down the things God has said to you. Don't write just a few. Write down all the things he said to you. Write 50 things, 100 things. Write down everything you've heard the Lord ever say to you. Now, writing is a powerful discipline because it forces us to formulate words enough that they're intelligible to be put into a sentence, which sometimes sentences just become feelings, which are wonderful because sometimes words just become light, which is wonderful, but there's times when over time, they've got to be refocused. And I think that was one of the things Randy was saying. Just refocus. Recollect and regather and list and see. Then he said, set him on what's happening this first quarter, what's going to happen the next quarter, write them in declarations and decrees as it has happened, which is a powerful practice. Abraham did in Romans 4, when it came time for Isaac to be born, he had to start living in a whole new identity. My name is Abraham, the father of many nations. He had an identity change. He had to disengage from his present physical limitation, not overthink the promise that was made, but instead go into, I'm going to glorify you, God, until the glory of God convinces me of your ability to perform what you promised. So he moved intentionally. But that was a set time. This time next year, Sarah will be with child. This time next year, you'll have a son. Name him Isaac. So when there comes set times, it's because God's initiating set times. Follow me? So what are we going to do this first quarter? What is God going to do? And he spoke of, write the impossible down. The impossible, that it have to be God to do it. Write down. Don't withhold the impossible. Put the impossible in place. So I want to us close and if you have a piece of paper, or you have, you know, your phone with the notes that you can write into, whatever is comfortable, I just want to encourage you. And I'm going to just throw out a few things that we could, you know, note and then go experience tomorrow and through the week. Because those experiences I just shared with you with Jesus were very profoundly personal and powerful and effective for me today. But they weren't just for me, they were also for us. Because here's the first question. What is the experience God continues to is currently introducing you into in himself? What of himself is he revealing to you? It could be in a dream, it could be in a conversation you're having, it could be in a vision you've had. But if you were to have to say, what's Jesus wanting me to know about him? And it could be write down a word or two, or, you know, what is it Jesus trying to reveal to me of himself? And if you can't write it, think about it, because he's not changing the subject day by day. He's pretty much pretty on purpose. He's purposefully laying things in place. What experience? What encounter? What voice? What sound? What movement? What are you trying to say to me? What would I say he's trying to say? We're going to get so good at this. You're not going to be sitting there going, someone says, what's God saying to you? Go, I wish I knew. You'll know. And you'll say, this is the conversation I'm in. See, because we don't have to produce conversations. We don't have to make God do anything. All we have to do is receive what he's saying. So that's the second question. What's he saying? What scripture currently are you in? Where have you felt led to go explore more? And you'll know where you felt led to explore more because either you're currently in the exploration or you've been feeling the nudge to go. And it could be multiple scriptures inside a theme. So it's not like a place in the Bible only. Please, nothing I say is to be held legally or by the letter. It's supposed to be in the movement of sound. So where is he talking to me from? Or where is he directing me to go hang out so he can talk to me there? And then the third thing, and then we'll just kind of close with some prayer. What's God going to do for you in the next 3 months? What's he going to do in the next 3 months? And maybe for you and for me is the wrong, because that kind of recreates it about us. But what's he going to do in the next 3 months? It involves us, of course, but what's he going to do in the next 3 months? What's going to happen? This is where we begin to activate the spirit of prophecy. And we are able to make decrees. Whoa, I feel the Holy Spirit all over that. Now what, and I will say this because this is a footnote that is worth always always recognized. What do I have to leave behind in order to go into the future? What issue do I have to just let it lay, not solve? What problem? What offense do I have to get forgive? What emotion do I have to disengage from? Because oftentimes we want to touch the new, but this tether on our ankle just kind of pulls us like a dog with a leash around his neck and knows it can't go past the length of the leash. Whoa. Everyone online, if you're involved in this, collect again. Now I'll talk for one more minute, but do you listen to the Holy Spirit, everybody? What experience? Where is he meeting me? Where is he trying to catch my attention, drawing me to vision or sound, conversation, experience? Ooh, because that's where we're going to go to tomorrow. We're going to go explore. Everybody again online, you're with us. Listen, where is he talking to you from in the scripture? Where are you being drawn to read or discover or go further into or wish you had more time to learn? Where is he speaking to you from? Where would you like to go that you keep feeling that nudge? And three, again, Lord, we're just asking you, Holy Spirit, you illuminate all things. What are you going to do the next 3 months? What's the next 3 months about? What's the next 6 months, 9 months, a year? Whew. Whoa. Worship you, Jesus. If you can, with your own mouth, just have a little bit of a conversation with the Lord, quiet enough to hear yourself, not disturb others. Just use your mouth to commit to some sound of it. Lord, I feel like what you're saying, where you're leading me, or experiencing, or coming to me, and the Spirit is in this place. Lord, I believe the scripture, the truth that you're wanting me to encounter you in is here. And Lord, I believe what you're going to do in the next 3 months is this. Don't be afraid to be way out there in some of the things you say. Because again, no one's going to force you to perform it. And nor are we obligated to tell anyone else but God. Holy Spirit, come. Some of us are in so many thoughts and so many places, it's good to kind of like let them narrow down. Others are not aware that we're really being drawn in a certain path. Oh, Shabbahamakiyama. Bless you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to... We have 1 more minute, 2 minutes. I want you to be bold enough to say quietly enough to the Lord that I believe in this next 3 months you're going to. Again, God will reward faith more than he will reward disengagement. So just, like I said, just be bold. I believe you're going to, and it can be in multiple areas, in my family, in my health, in my money, in my emotions, and my children, in my ministry, in my business, in my calling, my sonship, my discovery. Holy Spirit, you are more than capable of filling in the blanks. Everybody online, you're just as much a part of this. This is happening for you where you are at the time you're connecting, whether live right now or at a later date. There's an activation. There's a swelling. There's a sound and there's visual directives and confirmations on the outside, affirmations inside, awakening. He has a future and a hope. It's big. It's beautiful. It's larger than we think. Let's stand up together, please. I want to release a blessing. I feel the connecting going on. Is anybody having some help from heaven? I mean, you're feeling and you're connecting to the Lord. That's all that matters. I hope that's why you're quiet. Put your hand on your head. And we're going to call the new covenant to enforced. Say, Heavenly Father, put your laws in my mind. Put your hands on your heart. Heavenly Father, write them on my heart. Know me in forgiveness. Forgive me fully. And let me forgive fully and let go completely. And lead me into the future. In visions, dreams, scriptures, prophecy, declaration, let it come forth from you. Like a light beckoning me to follow. In the name of Jesus, be glorified. In my life, in every fashion, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Yes.